Thank you for coming. So we are on Daf Vav Amud Beis. The Gemara had been in the middle of a discussion. The Karban Ola atones for the neglect of a mitzvah saseh. What about if a person set aside a Karban Ola, and after he set aside the Karban, that's when he neglected the mitzvah saseh, or he violated the mitzvah saseh? Can the Karban Ola atone for a misdeed that happens after it was already dedicated, but before it was actually slaughtered? So the Gemara tries to bring a proof from a Braisa where Reb Shimon says that the goats, the sin offering goats that are brought on Shavuos, what are they to accomplish? They are to create atonement for the defiling of the temple. So then the Braisa continued and said, once the blood of the first goat was thrown, why is there a need for a second goat? For the defiling of the temple that happened between the first goat and the second. So that sounds like we're talking about the defiling of the temple that happened after the throwing of the blood of the first. So the Braisa says a comment. I mean, if that's your standard, really you're saying all the time Jews are defiling the temple and all the time we should be bringing offerings. You're right. But Hashem has Rachmanis on the expense. He doesn't make us do that all the time. So bottom line, though, is if the atonement of the second goat is for sins that happened after the throwing of the blood of the first goat, it's a sin that happened after the animal was consecrated. So you see that the animal can create atonement even for a misdeed that happened after it was set aside. So the Gemara said like this. We'll start at this point again. We're about a quarter of the way up on Vav Amud Beis. The Gemara says, "Idaf rishinu b'vasachas hachanami." If the two goats would have been set aside at the same time, you're right, that would have been a good proof. But I'll tell you, what is the case of the Torah? "Daf rishinu b'zachar zeh," where one goat was dedicated, and then later, a second goat was dedicated. So when we say that we're talking about atonement for sins that occurred after the first goat, it's not a sin that occurred after the throwing of the blood of the first goat. It's a sin that occurred after the dedication of the first goat, but prior to the dedication of the second goat, and maybe it's only sins that happened before the dedication that a sacrifice can wipe away, but not the sins that happened after the dedication. So the Gemara now asks on this, are you standing up and telling a pasuk that when the pasuk talks about on Yom Tov, on Shavuos, you have to bring two goats? It's all you all telling the pasuk. You only mean if one goat was dedicated and later a second goat was dedicated. That's not what the Torah talks about. The Torah doesn't talk about different dedication times. The Torah says different offering times, but it doesn't talk about different dedication times. Are you telling me the pasuk is only talking about when the two goats were dedicated at different times? And if, let's say, there was an industrious situation and they were willing to dedicate both goats at once, then the Torah doesn't want you to bring two goats on Shavuos? How could that be? So Amar Rav Papa, Rav Papa gave you the answer. Karbana Sibra Karmarta. You're talking about communal sacrifices. The two goats of Shavuos. Shiny Karbana Sibur. When you talk about communal sacrifices, they're different. The Lev Bezdin Kamasna Alehem. The court, representing the nation, has the ability to really set the terms of what's going on. So even if we have a wonderful group of Kohanim and they rush to do things right away and they put the two goats aside at once, Beis Din is making a condition that the dedication won't happen at once. One goat will be dedicated and a couple of hours later a second goat will be dedicated. And the reason why Beis Din makes that condition, and Beis Din staggers when the sanctification takes place, so that the impurities that will occur after the dedication of the first goat will be picked up by the consecration of the second goat. And maybe an offering only wipes away sins that happened before the consecration. And an offering does not have the ability to wipe away a sin that happened after the consecration, after the Akdasha. So where do you see such a thing, that the court has the ability to determine when something is going to become consecrated? Even though it was consecrated now, the court will say, doesn't mean that it happens now, it happens an hour from now or 2 hours from now. Kid Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Like we find the lesson of Rav Yehuda in the name of Shmuel. I'm Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Rav Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel. Karbanos Tzibur, communal sacrifices, Sakin Moshachtan, Lema Shehein. The knife pulls them to what they are fitting for, even if that's not what the person said they're going to be used for. So what's the case? It's a communal sacrifice. So we know like this. We know that the communal sacrifices, let's say the Karban Tamid, the daily sacrifice that Baruch referenced yesterday, that has to be bought by the half shekels. The half shekels that are donated all year are used to buy the sheep that are then offered as Karbanos Tamid. Now the halach is you have to use the shekels of this year for this year's Karbanos. And the year switches on the 1st of Nisan. So let's say before the 1st of Nisan, they bought sheep for Karbanos Tamid. Turns out they didn't need these sheep. And they were never offered as Karbanos Tamid. And now it's already the 3rd of Nisan, the 4th of Nisan. So what do you do with these sheep? You use these sheep as Kayetz HaMizbeach. You use them as donated olos to keep the Mizbeach busy. Now, even though they had not been dedicated as Kayetz HaMizbeach, they had been dedicated as Karbanos Tamid. They had been bought as Karbanos Tamid. But they couldn't be brought as Karbanos Tamid because we ran out of time. The new year started. This is now last year's Karbanos Tamid. They still get offered as Kayetz HaMizbeach. So how do they get offered as Kayetz HaMizbeach? So Shmuel says, I'll tell you why. Because only when they get slaughtered, that's when they have the name of what type of holiness they have. What do you mean? But they were dedicated before. They were dedicated before as Karbanos Tamid. But Beis Din makes a condition. You may have dedicated as Karbanos Tamid, but since it's not going to work, it's not going to take effect. And really, it's going to become Karban Olas Kayetz HaMizbeach, because it's our intent that really takes effect. You may have had the intent that it be a Karban Tamid, but we have a condition that your intent will only work if it could work. If it can't work, our condition is that your intent won't work, and it'll become something else. You see that when it's a communal sacrifice, the nature of what it is up to Beis Din, really. So therefore, the same way Beis Din can make a condition that what was dedicated as Karban Tamid won't be Karban Tamid, it'll end up really being Karban Olas Kayetz HaMizbeach, Beis Din also can make a condition that when they put aside the two goats for the chatos of Shavuos, even though they were put aside right away, Beis Din made a condition that the consecration is actually staggered. One becomes holy right away, one will become holy a little later, so that the sins done before the second one became holy are picked up by the second one. That's what the Gemara is suggesting so far.
This is one Beis Din making this decision?
This is the highest court.
The highest court. But the Kohen Gadol has nothing to do with this.
That's what we've seen so far. That's right.
Could an individual also make a stipulation?
That's a good question. We haven't seen that. The Gemara said, Karbanos Tzibur, communal sacrifices. Sounds like not anybody else.
Rabbi, can you briefly say when they had the two goats, one for Shechita, one for throwing down, you know, by Bezazil?
That's a different two goats.
I know, but what's the difference between, you know, the Shechita and throwing me down?
They accomplish different things. One, the Shechita accomplishes purity atonement for the sin of defiling the temple. And the other one accomplishes atonement for all the sins of the Jewish people. So now, I'm a layer of Yosef, Rabbi Rav Shmuel, Rav Papa. So Rav Yosef, the son of Rav Shmuel, said back to Rav Papa. Rav Papa is the one who says this idea of Lev Beis Din Mas Na'al Eim. So he said, one second. Umi Islay the Rabbi Shimon, Lev Beis Din Mas Na'al Eim. This Braisa, which was how we got into this, to try to resolve the question of a sin done after the consecration, can the offering pick that sin up too? We started this with Tashmar B'Shimon Omer. We started off with a Braisa, quoting Rabbi Shimon. Are you going to say that Rabbi Shimon holds Lev Beis Din Mas Na'al Eim, that Beis Din's condition will cause an automatic staggering of the sanctification of the two Shavuos goats? Does Rabbi Shimon hold of this idea of Lev Beis Din Mas Na'al Eim, that the heart of the court can stipulate and can make conditions for sanctification, have like a two-leveled sanctification. If it goes right, it's this. If it doesn't go right, it's that. The case that we've talked about of Lev Bez and Masnalim. The community didn't budget correctly. They overbought. So they took the half shekels of the year 5777 and they bought, 20 sheep. And then they realized, one second, we only need 5 more sheep and then it's going to be done. It's going to be 5778. They didn't budget correctly. So now, that's the case, right? Where they bought the wrong amount of tzmidin. So, we just said that Shmuel said, who is an Amora, Shmuel said, in the name of Rabbi Yehuda, in the name of Shmuel, in these cases, Karbanos Tzibur, Sakin Mosh Chasan. Doesn't matter. Whenever they'll be slaughtered, that'll pull them to the right thing. So if they're slaughtered too late, they're slaughtered in 5778, they won't be Karbanos Tamid. They'll be Olas Kayetzam Izbeach. But that's not what we have here. What we have here is that Rabbi Yochanan says, L'divri Rabbi Shimon, that according to Rabbi Shimon, Ein Niftin Tzmimin. We have a problem. These are Karbanos Tamid, but of last year, because we're now in the year 5778. They were bought by 5777 money. They had to be bought for 5778. They need to be bought by from 5778 money. So Rabbi Shimon says, you can't redeem them the way they are. You have to wait till they get a blemish. Once they get a blemish, then they lose their, then they can be redeemed. But before they get a blemish, they can't be redeemed. And the Divrei Chachamim, and said Rabbi Yochanan, but according to the Chachamim, Niftin Tzmimin, they can be redeemed. Because since they had been bought to be Karbanos Tamid, turns out they can't be used as Karbanos Tamid. So when they were bought to be Karbanos Tamid, there was actually a condition. They will be Karbanos Tamid if they could be Karbanos Tamid. If they can't be Karbanos Tamid, they just will have sanctity, but they won't have the sanctity of a Karban, they'll have the sanctity of property. Sanctity of property can be redeemed. So you see, who's the one who says that there's Bezdin conditions and different possibilities? It's not Rabbi Shimon. It's the other view. So if so, how could you say that our Braisa is Rabbi Shimon? Our Braisa about Shavuos is Rabbi Shimon, which is explicitly Rabbi Shimon. How can you say our Braisa about Shavuos is about staggered sanctification? Rabbi Shimon holds you can have staggered sanctification because Bezdin's condition can override what a person says, what a person does. But he's the one who holds that there is no override of Bezdin. That's what you see here. Because Chacham say Nivdin Tmimin. Rabbi Shimon says not. And therefore, we're back to saying that the Braisa is not about staggering Karbanos. So then let's go back. The Braisa says that on Shavuos there are 2 goats offered. And the Braisa then asks, why do you bring a second after you bring the first? The answer is for sins that happen in between. In between what? It's not in between sanctification, because the sanctification can happen at once. And according to Rabbi Shimon, you don't always have a staggering, because he doesn't hold that Lev Bezdin Masna Lan. So must be, what does it mean, happening between? It means happening between the offering of one and offering of the other. So we have a proof that a sin that happened after consecration can be still picked up by an offering. Says the Gemara, I'll bring you a second proof. Vote, and now a second proof that a sin done after a sacrifice is consecrated will still be picked up by that sacrifice and atoned for by that sacrifice. Vote, the second proof is from the following. The second proof is from a question that Reb Yirmiya had asked Reb Zera.
We have a second question right now because we just threw out the answer. I thought we said Reb Shimon can't hold.
We threw out the rejection. Remember, that whole answer was to reject a proof. We threw out the rejection. So now we're saying we have in fact proven that a sin done after consecration can be picked up by the sacrifice.
So the extra goats that they have from last year, leftovers, cannot be shecht, or can be shecht.
Well,
based on this,
depends according to who. According to Rabbi Shimon, according to Rabbi Yochanan, it needs to get a blemish, right. Then it would be redeemed. Then you'd use the money for it. for Kayetz and Mizbeach. According to the Chacham, he doesn't even need a blemish. Since it was a conditional sanctification, it can be redeemed unblemished. And so you see that they hold that there is, you know, conditions of Beis Din.
Which one is the halacha, Rabbi?
The second view.
The second view?
The Chacham. So now here's another proof to the question of before. A sin done after consecration, does the sacrifice pick it up? Rabbi Yirmi asked a question about from Reb Zera. Seiri Atzer asked, let's say you have two goats of Shavuos, the two Karbanos Chatos of Shavuos, that were slaughtered at the same time, and Shekibel Dam B'Shnei Kosos, and they caught the blood in two cups. But Nizrak Damo Shorishon, the blood of the first was thrown, and then Sheni Lamuba, why do you have to bring the second blood? There's really almost no time between one and the next, so they were slaughtered together. So the answer is, says Reb Zera, Al Tuma She'ira Bein Zrika Shel Zeh LeZeh. It's for the defiling of the temple that happened after the first blood was thrown, before the second blood was thrown. So now, one second. Ad Kanomi Boile, till now we've only had a question. Ella, right? Or so, till now, what was Rabbi Yirmiyah's question? Ella se de la achar shechita, right? He was wondering about what's the point of a second offering when the sins are going to happen after the slaughtering of the second offering. That was his question, right? The two offerings were slaughtered at once. So the first offering created atonement when its blood was thrown. So what's the point of the second offering? Well, the answer is because there are sins that happened after the first blood was thrown. But these sins are happening even after the second one was slaughtered, right? So that's what Rabbi Yirmiyah was wondering. That's what Rabbi Yirmiyah said. Even though it's after the second was slaughtered, it still works. Aval aseh del achor afrasha. But that a sin might happen after consecration. Lo kami bayli. Apparently that was obvious to Rabbi Yirmiyah, who was asking the question, that would certainly work. Mara says, maybe not. It's not a proof. Maybe it's not a proof. Maybe he's saying, I'm not sure. If it's in fact the case that a sin done after the consecration is also picked up by the sacrifice, what about a sin done after the slaughter? Would that be picked up by the sacrifice? If it was done before the throwing of the blood, but it was done after the slaughtering. So that's what he was saying. He wasn't saying for sure that a sin done after consecration is certainly picked up by the sacrifice. So you don't necessarily have a proof to our issue.
But Abba, how much time is in between these two?
There's not a lot of time.
So how could it be any more sin?
Not a lot of time.
You're standing there. What kind of a sin you could do?
Not a lot of time.
When he kibbutzed the dam, he did already two actions. There
right.
No machshava
right.
About, let's assume the sin that happened between.
Right.
So it's.
Yeah, that's the question. Okay. Itmar, we learned. Going back to the topic of the Mishnah, which is when a person does one of the services for the wrong consecration, the wrong intent. Itmar, we learned. Toda, let's say you have a carbon toda. Sheshchata l'shem todas chavero. That was slaughtered for the sake of somebody else's toda. So he slaughtered a karban toda. Reuven, let's say, has to bring a karban toda because he came through the desert. Shimon has to bring a karban toda because he got out of jail. So the Kohen slaughtered Reuven's karban, who had come through the desert, and saying, I'm doing this for you having come out of jail. So Rabba Amar Ksheira. Rabba says that it's still kosher. Rav Chisda Amar Psula. Rav Chisda says it's not kosher. Rabba Amar Ksheira. Rabba says it's kosher. Toda l'shem toda nishchata. So it was slaughtered for a toda. It was a tzoda, it was slaughtered for a tzoda. Rav Chisda Amar Psula, Rav Chisda says, it's possible. L'shum shlam didei nishchata b'inan. The Torah describes the Toda zevach Toda shlamav, the slaughtering of the Toda of his shlamim. So it has to be for his shlamim, not for somebody else's shlamim. This is somebody else's shlamim. I'm a rabbi. Rabbi said, what's my source that it is kosher? The time went in a braisa. It says about the carbon Toda. Uvesar zevach Toda shlamav, and the blood and the meat of the slaughtering of the Toda of his shlamim. Biyom akivoa sivcho. So Abba Chanin, I'm Mishim Reb Elezer. So in this Brice, Abba Chanin says, name of Reb Elezer. It says, Toda Shlamav, Balalameh. It's to teach you. Toda Shishchat, L'shem Shlamim Ksheira. The Toda was slaughtered as a Shlamim, it's also kosher. Shlam Shanishchat, L'shem Toda Psulim. But if the Toda, if the Shlamim was slaughtered as a Shlamim, I'm sorry, if the Shlamim was slaughtered as a Toda, then it wouldn't work for its owner. Now, my Hefesh Ben Zelazer, what's the difference between slaughtering the Toda as a Shlamim, we're slaughtering the Shlamim as a Toda. That's this pasuk. Toda kruya Shlamim. The Toda is also called Shlamim. But ain't Shlamim kruya Toda. The Shlamim is not called Toda. So this is not in regards to actually being pasul, even though using the language of pasul means in terms of working for its owner. So now, this is the brisa. So what did Reb Elezer say? Shlamim, l'shem Toda psula. What would be disqualified? What would not work for its owner? A Shlamim slaughtered as a Toda. A Toda l'shem Toda, but a Toda slaughtered for the sake of somebody else's Toda, because it's a Toda for a Toda. Is Kshera. That sounds like it is okay. So my lav d'chavri. Sounds like even though it was for somebody else's Toda, it's okay. So maybe it's not a proof. Lo, what does it mean? A Toda slaughtered for another Toda is okay. D'day, for his own other Toda. Let's say Reuven got out of jail and he got through a desert. So he has to bring multiple karbanos toda. And the Kohen slaughtered this toda, thinking about the next toda that Reuven's planning to bring. He slaughtered this one for getting out of jail when it was really for the desert. So it works, it's all his toda. So he says, if that's the case, Abel Chavri Mai, but if the Kohen would slaughter Reuven's toda for Shimon's toda, then psul, then it would be no good. Adetani, why did the Brice have to say? Shlam l'shem toda psulim. If a shlamim is slaughtered as a toda, it won't work for its owner. Listening, it should say, toda l'shem toda. Sometimes even a toda slaughtered for a toda won't work. If it was slaughtered for somebody else's toda. V'kol shekein shlam l'shem toda. And if I'll say, if a toda slaughtered for somebody else's toda is not going to work for the original guy. Certainly if it was a shlam slaughtered for a toda. So Gemara says, maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe a toda slaughtered for somebody else's toda doesn't work. And nevertheless, the Braisa wanted to talk about a shlamim that was slaughtered l'shem toda. Didei it's tuchle, because we're talking about where it's the same guy's shlamim and his toda. And that's the chiddush. Because the Chamina would have thought to say, vida toda kruya shlamim, if the Torah says that a toda is called a shlamim, so shlam nami kruya toda, shlamim are also called a toda. And therefore, if he takes his shlamim, and if he slaughters his shlamim as a toda, it should be kosher. So Kamash won't have to tell you that it doesn't work for himself. But maybe that's a big chiddush. That's why we talked about that. But maybe even if he slaughters a toda for somebody else's toda, that also doesn't work.
But how come they just have the more basic case to say the Kohen just said this toda, instead of saying this toda, he said this is a shlamim? Like, why does it have to be two that he confused? Why can't it just be that the guy brought a toda because he got out of jail, and the Kohen just said, is a shlamim.
That's one of the cases. That's a total l'shem shlamim. That is the case.
Or we brought up this case of two. We said in the end it's talking about he had a toda and a shlamim, and they got them confused.
Right, but that's what it is. That's the same thing. There's the same law.
Okay, that's what I'm saying.
The chiddush is even this case, even though it's his own, it would still be a problem.
I'm saying it's a simpler reading if it's just.
But the point is that that's a chiddush. That's the point. We wanted to tell you because it's a chiddush to tell you that a shlamim for a toda is no good.
Confuses them.
Yeah.
So, Rabbi, this is the messing of the Kohen Gadol. The
Kohen's messing up, yeah.
Okay, now what happens if it will not be accepted then, if he's a mess up here?
No, in these karbanas, the carbon's accepted. When we say it's disqualified, it doesn't work for the owner. The only times the carbon becomes disqualified is if it's a chatas or a pesach. According to Blazer, also an asham that had the wrong intent.
Wrong. Okay, so how about if the owners agree and say, okay...
Doesn't matter. It's not up to him.
It doesn't work.
It's not up to him.
Rabbi, when is somebody required to bring a peace offering?
When is someone...
Right,
the Toda is if he gets out of the desert, gets through the sea, gets out of jail, and a sick person who gets better.
But when is the peace offering for?
Shlamin. You can donate a shlamin.
That's just...
And sometimes the Nazir has to bring a carbon similar to a shlamin. El Nazir is similar to a shlamin.
A Toda is a category of bum.
It is, that's right. It's connected to shlamin, that's right. Amar Rava, so now Rava said... Going back to different levels of wrong intent. Chatas, sheshachta l'shem chatas. Right? Let's say a man ate forbidden fat by mistake. So he brings a carbon for the sin of forbidden fat. But the Kohen slaughtered it as a carbon for the sin of eating blood. So ksheira, this is kasher. L'shem ola, but if the chatas was slaughtered as an ola, then it becomes psula, then it becomes disqualified entirely, and the blood and everything can't continue with the service. So my timer, why is it that if it was slaughtered for the wrong sin, it still works? Because the Torah says, this is the source for the idea that the chatas has to be offered l'shma. The Torah says, v'shachat osa l'chatas. And he will slaughter it as a chatas, amarachman. It has to be the chatas. But this also tells you it has to be for chatas. It was for a chatas. So since it was slaughtered for a chatas, it's still kosher. The shame ola psula. If it would have been slaughtered as an ola, then it would be possible. Vama Rava, Rava said further. Chatas sheshchata. Al mi shemuchuyav chatas. Psula. But if somebody slaughters a chatas, but not for Reuven, but instead for Shimon, and Shimon himself needs to bring a chatas. Let's say Reuven did the sin of eating fat. Shimon did the sin of drinking blood. So the Kohen slaughtered Reuven's chatas. As Shimon's chatas, that's pasul. That's the psul of Shinui Bailam, of changing the owner. But if he slaughters the Reuven's chatas, al mi shemachuy of Ola, on behalf of Shimon's Ola, right, on behalf of Shimon, who's not even obligated in a chatas, Shimon is obligated in an ola, he slaughters it on behalf of Shimon, but he slaughters it as a chatas, ksheira. Then that's not called shinui bailam. That's not called a change of owner to make it possible.
An ola is for a positive commandment, and
yeah.
A chatas is for...
Or thoughts of sin.
Oh.
Right, and a chatas is for an action that had it been done on purpose, would have carried the penalty of kares. So, what happens now? So why is this? My time, or why is this? Again, from this pasuk. The pasuk says, V'chiper Allah, he is to atone for him. Allah, v'lo al chaveiro, that means for him, but not for his friend. That's the source that he can't have an intent for the wrong owner. But it's in the same pasuk. Chaveiro d'umididei. That friend who's excluded has to be like him. V'mechuyiv kapara kimoso, he needs to bring a carbon like his carbon. But if the friend has to bring a different type of carbon, then thinking about such a friend does not disqualify it. Amar Rava, Rava said further, Chatas sheshchata al mi she'enu mechuyav klum. A chatas that was slaughtered for somebody who doesn't have any obligation. But that is psula. That is disqualified. Why? She'en l'chadam bi Yisrael she'enu mechuyav aseh. Because it seems like a contradiction. Okay, because there is no person who doesn't have any sins. Everybody has sins. Everybody has some sins of missing out on mitzvah saseh. Amar Rava, and Rava said, Chatas mechaperes al chayav yaseh mikal v'chomer al chayav mikal v'chomer. A chatas, even though I just said that a chatas atones for an action, the truth is a chatas also atones for a lack of a mitzvah saseh. That's based on a kal v'chomer. Because if al chayve krisus mechaperes, if it atones for a sin of an action, of a sin that deserves kares, al chayve aseh lo kol shekin. Therefore, it certainly should atone for missing out on a mitzvah aseh. So therefore, the Gemara asks, lememra debas minahu? So you're saying that a chatas atones for aseh too? That means a chatas is like an ola. Vama Rava, this was Izzy's question. You just contradicted yourself. Rava just said, Chatas sheshchata al mishem mechuyev chatas psula. If a chatas was slaughtered for somebody else, and that other person needs to bring a chatas, then that disqualified this chatas, because that's the wrong owner. But al mishum mechuyav ola, but if it was slaughtered for someone who needs an ola, it doesn't disqualify it, because that guy who needs an ola is not chavero, is not his friend. What do you mean? He is chavero. The ola works for assays, and the chatas works for assays. How could that be? So the Gemara says like this, and we say that a chatas atones for an assay. It's like this. Mikiva lo machapra. It's not an atonement that's essential. Mikufya machapra. It's an atonement that hovers above. There are different types of atonement. There's an atonement that wipes away the sin from the inside out. And there's an atonement that on the outside, superficially, hovering above, it reduces, it mitigates. So, a chatas on the outside, above, mitigates a mitzvah saseh. But it doesn't really wipe away a mitzvah saseh. An ola wipes away a sin of mitzvah saseh. So if a person slaughters a chatas on behalf of someone who needs to bring an ola, so then you're talking about two different classes of people. One person is trying to get one person needs atonement for chiyuv kares, the other one needs atonement for an asay. One person is getting, you know, hovering atonement for the asays, the other person is getting essential atonement for the asays. So that wouldn't disqualify the carbon. But for the first guy. But if the chatas was slaughtered on behalf of someone who's not even bringing a carbon at all, so this chatas would create hovering atonement for assays. The other guy who's not bringing a carbon at all, he is always going to need hovering atonement. He's going to need some hovering atonement. Everybody has some level of sin. So then he's within the same category, and therefore he would, in fact, disqualify this chatas. It would be a situation of shinui bialim.
Is chavero knows about it?
No, he doesn't know.
He doesn't know.
Doesn't matter, he doesn't know.
Doesn't help.
Yeah. Now, v'amar Rava, Rava said another law. Ola sheshchata shelo lishma. Let's say an ola was slaughtered with the wrong intent. So as we said, if an ola was slaughtered as a chatas, or let's say better, an ola was slaughtered as a shlamim, the carbon keeps on going, but it won't work for the person's obligation. So in that case, an ola that was slaughtered as a shlamim, said Rava, asr lizrok dama shelo lishma, but you still have to throw the blood as a shlamim. That we saw on Daf Beis already. Ibai say makrad, you could say the source for this is a pasuk. Ibai say masvara, you could say it is a svara. Ibai say makrad, you could say it's the pasuk. The pasuk says, Moses vasecha tishmar, vasisa kasher nadarta l'ashem alokecha nidava. So why does it say both nadarta and nidava? It's to say, if you did it all the things right, it's the neder. If you didn't do all the things right, it still gets offered, but it's just a nidava. But as a nidava, it has to still be offered as an ola. By the same alternative, I can tell you it's a svara. It is logic, which is what? Mishum deshaniba, because he did one thing wrong. He did the slaughtering shelo lishma. So now, mishaniba v'lezel, should he do lots of things wrong and now do the zrika shelo lishma? No. Kiddereish pirk, as we had in the beginning of the parak.
It seems to me that a person can always use the benefit of a korban being slaughtered, even the wrong intent, except the toda, because that's specifically
No, not in a chatas.
Why? Everybody has a sin?
No, but if it was slaughtered with the wrong intent, it gets disqualified.
Something is ola so different.
But the owner of the ola is so different. And not that it was slaughtered as an ola, it was slaughtered for the guy who needs an ola.
When it was for a violation of a positive mitzvah.
That's right.
Before they do the shech, they announce it, this is done for.
Yes.
That's correct. For his
correct. V'amar Rava. Rava said further, ola, let's say you have an ola, and the owners die. Haba liachar misa. And now it's being brought by the heirs, by the children. Shchata b'shinui kodesh. If it was slaughtered for the wrong sanctification, let's say slaughtered for shlamim, psula, It's not going to work for these children. It's not going to create atonement for them. V'shinui ba'alim, but if it was slaughtered for the wrong owners, k'sheira, it'll still create atonement for them. V'ein ba'alim lacham isa, because after death, there is no owner. So since there's no real owner, so the wrong owner is not going to make a disqualification. That's Rava's view. However, Rav Pinchas Beir Rav Ami Amar, yesh ba'alim lacham isa, there is an owner after death, the children. Amalei Rav Ashi, Rav Pinchas Beir Rav Ami, so Rav Ashi said to Rav Pinchas, the son of Rav Ami, when you said there is an owner after death, did you mean it's literally the law of slaughtering it for the wrong owner? That if it was slaughtered for someone other than the heirs have to bring another carbon? Oh, Dilma, maybe what you meant was like this. That if the heirs... have sins, I'd say, Mitzvah Saseh, those sins get wiped away with this carbon. But if the carbon that their father had bought and consecrated was slaughtered not for them but for somebody else, they don't need to replace it. Amar Leh, Sir Pinchas said, no, I mean that the heirs are totally the heirs, they become the owners. Dafka Kamina, once they inherit it, it's their carbon. So if it was slaughtered not for them but for somebody else, they would have to bring a replacement. Amar Rava. Rava now said, let's understand what an Ola is. Ola Doronhi. An Ola is a gift. In other words, really what wipes away the sin is doing tshuva. And after doing tshuva, a person brings the Ola as a gift to Hashem. So Hechi Dami, how does an Ola work? Either lack of tshuva, if the person didn't do tshuva for his lack of doing the mitzvah saseh, how could the Ola work? Zevach Rishayim Toeva, the Pasuk says, the offering of the wicked is an abomination. So God doesn't want it. Idika Tshuva, and if he did Tshuva, what do you need the Ola for? Hatani, we learned in a Brice in the end of Maseches Yuma, Avraham Mitzvah Saseh Veshav, if you did a Mitzvah Saseh, you violated a Mitzvah Saseh, then you do Tshuva, Lo Zaz Mishamat Shemochen Lo, the Tshuva alone makes you forgiven. You don't have to move, and you're already forgiven. So what's the point of the Ola? So yes, the main kapara, the main atonement is through the tshuva. And what is the Ola? Doronhu. The Ola is a gift. Tanya Namiyachi, we also learned in a braisa like this. I'm Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says, Chatas lama ba, why do you have a chatas for? Lama ba, why do you have a chatas for? L'chaper, it's to atone for misdeeds. Why is the chatas brought before an ola? The answer is like this. The chatas is lepraklit shenichnas. The chatas is the defense attorney who walks in to advocate to the king to that the man's sin wasn't so bad, the man's sin should be forgiven. Once Ritza plaklit, once the defense attorney made such a great case for acquittal, nichnas doron achrav. Now the next person comes in to give a gift to the king. So that's what's going on as well. Really, the chatas wipes away sins. The ola doesn't really wipe away sins. It's tshuva that wipes away sins. The ola is a gift. Thank you for having forgiven. Now, we learned in the Mishnah that chutz min ha-pesach v'achatas, that all karbanos slaughtered with the wrong sanctification, the karban keeps on being brought, except for a chatas and a pesach, if they were slaughtered with the wrong intent, the carbon gets disqualified. Now, we've spoken about chatas because of the shachtuos, so as we said, pesach minalan, what's the source? That the pesach has to be slaughtered for the sake of pesach. The chsiv, because the pasuk says, shamoris chodesh aviv, vasisa pesach la'ashem alokecha. That tells you, you call us Yosav l'shem Pesach. All of the vasis, all of the doings have to be for the sake of Pesach. Ashkechan shinu kodesh. That tells me you can't deviate from the holiness. Shinu b'aleminon. How do we know that if you slaughter the Pesach for the wrong person, it becomes disqualified? Dichsev, that's from another pasuk. The pasuk says, v'amartem zevach Pesach hu. And you are to say it is a slaughtering of Pesach. Shetezvich l'shem Pesach. That means the slaughtering has to be for Pesach. Now, I don't need that. I already learned that from the pasuk of Vasisa Pesach LaShem Elokecha. It made it in Lishinu Kodesh, it made it in Lishinu Bailim. So if you don't need it to tell me you can't deviate from the sanctification, it's to tell me you can't deviate from the owner. Ashkelon mitzvah. Maybe that's just an ideal. La'akev minon. How do we know that if it wasn't done the right way, it gets disqualified? Amar krab, from the fact that the pasuk says, "V'zavachta Pesach la'Hashem Elokecha," and you will offer a Pesach to Hashem your God. It has to be brought to Hashem your God. We already learned the din of Lishma. So it must be, this is to tell you that it's an absolute requirement. Maskefler of Safra, challenged this. Hi, v'zavachta la'achyuda asad. Is this what we need v'zavachta for? Hi, miboyle kid Rav Nachman, need it for something else. Damar Rav Nachman, Rabbi Ravu, aminayin l'moser Pesach. How do we know that if a sheep was dedicated as a Pesach, then it was lost, and a different sheep was brought, and it was found later? Shekarev shlam, that it's brought as a shlam, and shenemar v'zavachta Pesach la'ashem elokechatzonu v'akar. Why does it say you shall slaughter a Pesach? Sheep and cattle. You can't offer a cattle as a Pesach. So what's this point? The point of this pasuk is that the leftovers of a Pesach, it comes for something that could be sheep or cattle. Mind you, what does it get offered as? It could be offered as a shlamim. So since this verse to tell me the law of Moser Pesach, you can't tell me that it's to tell me that Lishma is Ma'akev. So Elam, Rav Safra said, you're right, v'zavachta Pesach is for the din of Rav Nachman of Moser Pesach. Shomer es chodesh ha'aviv, v'asisa Pesach, l'mitzvah b'shinui kodesh. That's to tell you, ideally, you can't deviate from the consecration. V'amar tzevach Pesach, b'shinui b'aylim, l'mitzvah. That's telling you that, ideally, you can't deviate from the owner. And then when it says, who, v'amar tzevach Pesach, who, that's to tell me that it's an absolute requirement, both in regards to Shinui Ba'alim and in regards to Shinui Kodesh. It has to be this way. Can't be deviated from this way.